Hey, thank you and good morning to everyone who's called in. Thank you for folks calling in. Please place your phones on star 6 to mute, and we'll unmute for questions. My name is Ana Mascareñas. I'm the Policy and Communications Director with Physicians for Social Responsibility Los Angeles.
In Southern California, specifically in the Big Bear area.
I'm the co-coordinator also of Californians for Toxic Free Fire Safety, a broad-based coalition of public interest organizations and other groups working to promote fire safety without the use of toxic or untested chemicals. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining our teleconference this morning regarding California Furniture Flammability Draft Regulation TB 117-2013. It was just released this morning, and it is a major update to the outdated TB 117, which was adopted in 1975. So folks who are newer on the call, please make sure to not put your phone on hold, but put it on mute for the portion of this call. It's star 6 to mute and star 6 to get off of mute. We have a great lineup of speakers who will be presenting for several minutes each, and then we'll have time for questions afterwards. So to put everything in context, today Governor Jerry Brown and his administration are taking an important step to improve fire safety and protect our children, homes, workplaces, and communities from toxic flame retardant chemicals. For more than 30 years, toxic or untested flame retardant chemicals have been added to furniture and baby products to meet a California flammability rule called TB-117, yet they don't work as promised. TB-117 has become the de facto flammability standard for the entire nation. In June of last year, Governor Brown issued a directive to update TB-117 to ensure fire safety and reduce toxic chemicals in furniture and baby products. Since that time, the Bureau of Electronic and Appliance Repair, Home Furnishings and Thermal Insulation, under the direction of Chief Tanya Blood, has held workshops with multiple stakeholders, including manufacturers, retailers, fire safety experts, firefighters, environmental health advocates, environmental justice communities, scientists, and health professionals to present a new draft of this rule called TB-117-2013. We believe this updated regulation focuses on a common-sense approach to public health and safety by addressing how and where fires start. It requires a smolder test on fabric that reflects real-life fire scenarios. Instead of protecting us from furniture fires, toxic flame retardant chemicals added to furniture and baby products to meet the old TB-117 have been shown to continuously leach out of products and have been detected in our own bodies, environment, pets, and wildlife. They've been linked to many health problems, including lower IQs in children, reduced fertility, and increased cancer risks. Flame retardants can make fires more deadly by increasing smoke and toxic gases, which are the major cause of fire deaths and injuries. Firefighters experience higher cancer rates, which are believed to be associated with on-the-job chemical exposures. Communities of color already bear a disproportionate burden of toxic chemicals in their homes, workplaces, and neighborhoods, and studies show that flame retardant chemicals contribute to this disparity. In California, children carry flame retardant chemicals in their bodies at concentrations amongst the highest in the world. These are just some of the health environmental problems associated with California's outdated flammability rule, TB-117, and no fire safety benefit. Because many flame retardant chemicals are persistent and do not break down, they will continue to contaminate the environment for generations to come. And are now, some that have been banned, for example, are now global pollutants found in remote sites such as the Arctic and contaminating the food supply of Native Alaskans. Our speaker today will discuss more aspects of the outdated TB-117 and initial reactions to the new draft standard, which was, again, just released this morning. We'll discuss fire safety, health, and environmental implications of flame retardants, discuss policy and political challenges, including major opposition to updating TB-117. They will address the disproportionate impacts of harmful chemicals in vulnerable populations and provide perspectives from the firefighter community. Please hold your questions until the end of the speaker presentations, and I will moderate questions for those new joining. My name is Ana Mascareñas with Physicians for Social Responsibility in Los Angeles. And if everyone could please, once again, place your phones on mute using star 6, and then once the question section begins, I use star 6 to take yourself off of mute. Thank you again for joining us. Our first speaker is Senator Mark Leno, who represents California's 11th Senate District. During his time in the California State Legislature, Senator Leno has authored 4 bills related to California's flammability standard. His 2011 legislation, SB 147, would have allowed consumers the choice of purchasing furniture and baby products that are fire safe and do not contain toxic chemical fire retardants. Thank you for joining us, Senator Leno.
Thank you, Anna, and thanks to all who are with us today. This is a day of great elation for all of us, and that certainly includes health advocates and firefighters and advocates for children, environmentalists, scientists, all of those who have fought valiantly and consistently for many, many years now to make a change through an outdated, nearly 40-year-old fire safety standard, which California, with all good intention, created back in the 1970s, but it makes perfect sense. And this is why I applaud Governor Brown and his agencies. And I don't think it's hyperbolic to suggest that his leadership on this subject is probably among the most significant and important environmental decisions benefiting human health and the planet that any other governor has made in recent memory. And it is appropriate that after 38 years, we revisit Technical Bulletin 117, update it to 2013, which is being announced today, so that we can, in an equally, if not more so, fire-safe way, rid ourselves of what are now known to be extraordinarily dangerous, toxic flame retardants. And I'll allow others to go into all of the health hazards and damage that it has done to our planet over these many years. It's been very challenging and frustrating to have attempted to make these kinds of changes legislatively over the past 5 years, and I do want to extend my thanks to my good friend, Dr. Arlene Bloom, who has been my guide and counsel and scientific backdrop through all of this and is the first to have introduced me to the subject matter about 6 years ago. And it made complete sense to me that we needed to do something about it. What I wasn't aware of, and I was an assemblyman at the time, was the uncommon and severe response from the chemical industry, which very deceptively dresses itself up as a grassroots organization, couldn't be anything further from the truth, reminiscent of the dirty old days of the tobacco industry, dressing themselves up as citizens for fire safety, suggesting that our legislative efforts would kill children and destroy families, actually taking out full-page color ads in newspapers up and down the state, television commercials, radio commercials, robocalls, mailers into districts, urging voters to contact their legislators to vote against this kind of legislation. So it's been a multi-million dollar multimedia campaign to fight for the status quo, which benefits absolutely no one except the deep pockets of three extraordinarily large, wealthy, powerful chemical corporations. So I'll just conclude by saying that I was in the governor's office last June, a week or so after he made the announcement that he would direct his agencies to create, which is now being introduced today. We were talking about the final details of last year's budget. I, in his office as chair of the budget committee, and I took the opportunity to say, Governor, thank you very much for your leadership. I've been fighting these chemical corporations for 5 years now, trying to keep our communities, our families safer. And his response to me, pure Jerry Brown, was, see, if you want to get stuff done, come down to my office. Well, today he certainly has proven that. And my intent, and we will allow for the six-month public process to unfold, but sometime later this summer or early next year, depending upon the timing of the completion of that process, it would be my intent to take these new regulations and place them into statute so that they will be ever more secure and not at the whim of some subsequent administration. So, again, thanks all around. We could not have come this far if it weren't for the ardent advocacy of so many people so committed to the health and well-being of our families and our communities and, of course, our planet.
Thank you so much, Senator Leno. Next speaker we have is Donald Lucas. He's an expert scientist on flammability and will address the outdated TB 117, next steps for fire safety and reactions to this new draft that was just released. Lucas is a fire safety engineer and received his PhD also in physical chemistry from UC Berkeley. Thank you, Mr. Lucas, for joining us.
Thank you. I just wanted to talk, the first thing I wanted to mention was that myself and all of the fire and combustion people I've dealt with have always stressed that we would not support any new regulations or rules that reduce fire safety. So the nice thing about this new regulation is we're convinced that there is no reduction in fire safety benefits. Fires and fire deaths and people are involved in fires, it's a horrible thing. We are not interested in increasing any risk to people. The old TB-117 had no proven fire safety benefits, and that was one of the reasons why we wanted to get it to change. It tested things separately. So you tested the foam separately with a small flame, and that was one of the major problems, is because there's no furniture in anywhere that I know of that has bare open foam. It's always covered by a fabric. And so by requiring the test to have a flame component on the foam, it was almost virtually requiring the addition of chemical flame retardants into the foam. So the nice thing about the new method, and I've just had a chance to read it this morning, is that it tests a much more realistic scenario. So instead of testing the foam by itself, it tests the fabric, which is where the fire starts, or test the composite. So you can either have the fabric on top of the foam, or if there's a barrier that's being used, you can test it that way also, and you can test the barrier. So what you're doing is preventing the ignition of the foam by the new method instead of testing the foam by itself. One thing I was really struck by in the new study is that it talks about how that no single study or test can prove all the answers. Fire is a very complex thing. It's a phenomena. It involves a lot of different chemistry and turbulence and interactions, and so there's no single test or no single report. So a lot of times you'll see individual reports that pretend to show or purport to show a benefit from TB-117. The problem is you can maneuver the test, you can pick out particular items, and so nothing's going to be perfect, but I'm convinced that the new TB-117 2013 is a reasonable and scientifically sound method for doing it. And the point is that even with the old TB-117, because it was a fire retarded, it didn't mean that it wouldn't burn. So when the foam did catch fire, if you had a larger fire, the chemicals involved with there would almost always produce a toxic soup. So not only do you have a worry about the actual prevention of fires, but when a fire does occur, the foam itself would burn and could produce many toxic chemicals. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the new standard. It addresses the upholstery cover fabrics and tests the interaction of the components with the upholstered furniture. So it's the fabric and the foam plus any barrier. So it's a much more realistic test. It also involves a smolder standard, so it uses a cigarette instead of an open flame, a small open flame. And the difference here is that a small open flame is not really a major cause of fires in homes. Most of the fires in homes, especially with upholstered furniture, are caused by smoking or smoldering items. And that's what the new TB-117-2013 looks at. So it does prevent ignition from the most common source of fire in smoking materials and other smoldering sources. And the test performance of the foam is with it covered with fabric, which is a much more realistic condition in the real world. And it actually goes past what the ASTM E1353 method, which is another method that has been done. So California is now leading not just we're again leading the nation, which I think is great, and I applaud the legislature and the Bureau and their leadership in putting this into a sound scientific method that's actually more robust than the standards out there in the rest of the world. So I would like to applaud them. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Next we have Dr. Sarah Jansen, who is a senior scientist at the Natural Resources Defense Council. Dr. Jansen provides scientific expertise for policy and regulatory decisions on a number of toxic chemicals, including hormone-disrupting substances which interfere with fertility and reproduction. She's board-certified in preventive medicine with a subspecialty in occupational and environmental medicine and is an assistant clinical professor at the University of California, San Francisco. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Jansen.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'm speaking here on behalf of NRDC this morning. First, I just want to echo my appreciation for the Bureau for putting out this great proposal. And I also want to acknowledge the leadership of Senator Leno, Chief Blood of the Bureau and the Brown administration for making this a priority. Once enacted, the revised standard will provide benefits both for fire safety and for health, and I'm going to speak to the latter during my remarks. I wanted to provide some perspective on the public health benefits of the new TB117-2013. While the standard doesn't directly address the use of flame retardant chemicals, it will have a significant and positive impact on our health because it will eliminate the need for their use. In part, because of the use of flame retardants in furniture, they are polluting our bodies, our environment, and harming our health. U.S. house dust, and in particular California house dust, has been found to be highly contaminated with flame retardant chemicals. They're found in our house dust because they leach from the products that they're used in. As a result of inhaling or ingesting this dust, Californians carry in their bodies some of the highest levels anywhere in the world. And Americans in general carry 10 times higher levels than our European counterparts. Because infants and toddlers spend most of their time close to the ground where dust settles, and because it's normal for young children to put their hands in their mouths at any opportunity, it isn't surprising that toddlers have been found to have some of the highest levels of exposure, some 3 times higher the levels that are found in their moms. Infants and children are uniquely vulnerable to the chemical exposures because of the tremendous amount of growth and development they undergo at a very rapid rate. As a physician and a scientist, and most importantly, as a mother of a young child, I'm quite concerned that these exposures are harming our health. But there is shockingly little information available on the toxicity of most of these chemicals. Most of the laboratory animal studies which have been published have been done on a group of flame retardants called PBDEs. These chemicals have been shown to disrupt thyroid hormone, and since this hormone is so important for development of the brain, it isn't surprising that PBDEs have been shown to cause damage to the developing brain, resulting in hyperactivity and memory problems. A recent study in animals has linked these flame retardants in particular to a type of autism. Exposure to PBDEs is also found to cause reproductive harm, such as lower sperm counts and malformed reproductive organs, and cancer. All of these studies have been published in scientific peer-reviewed journals. Troubling to me is that many of these outcomes, which were once described only in animals, are now being found in the human populations that are being studied. Recent studies have found women with higher levels of PBDEs in their blood take longer to get pregnant and have smaller babies. Children exposed in the womb have lower IQs and attention problems. Other studies have linked flame retardants to infertility, male genital birth defects, and early puberty in girls. Although the PBDEs have been or are being phased out of use, exposures continue, and the old standard, the current TB117, has resulted in the use of other toxic chemical replacements. For example, one of the toxic chemicals that has replaced PBDEs is chlorinated tris, or TDCPP. It was removed as a flame retardant from children's pajamas, but because it caused an unacceptably high number of cancerous tumors in animals, but it wasn't banned from use in other products, and it's been used as a replacement in furniture. I had the foam in my couch tested and found that it contained a pound of chlorinated tris. This last fall, California put chlorinated tris on the Prop 65 list, and now it's been removed from the market. Dr. Bloom is going to speak more about the replacement chemicals, but we know that one of the replacements that's being used to now replace tris is another flame retardant mixture called Firemaster 550. It's been found in house dust, sediments, air, marine environments, and wildlife. I expect next, when we go looking for it, we will find it in people. In animal studies, it's already been shown to alter hormone levels, change behavior, and cause obesity. I'm heartened that the proposed furniture flammability standard will eliminate the need for the use of toxic chemicals in our furniture, and I look forward to the day that I can buy a toxic-free, fire-safe couch. Thank you for your attention, and I just want to note that I do have a blog posted on NRDC's switchboard with a video that was just released today about my toxic couch. We can send you the link if you're interested.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jansen. Next we have Andrew McGuire. Mr. McGuire is the Executive Director of the Trauma Foundation. He's a burn survivor, and he was a leader in the 30-year campaign to achieve fire-safe cigarettes, leading that effort. He's an expert on flammability issues and chemical industry deception tactics. Thank you for joining us, Mr. McGuire.
Thank you, Anna. I would like to be very brief so that we can get to the question and answer session. In 1979, I began a campaign to regulate cigarettes as a fire hazard so that we would have self-extinguishing or fire-safe cigarettes. That's now the law in all 50 states and many other countries. In 1982, 3 years after I started the campaign, the Tobacco Institute hired a gentleman named Peter Sparber. Peter Sparber was given the title Vice President, Tobacco Institute, and the first thing he did was he created a couple of phony AstroTurf fire service organizations, one of which was called the National Association of State Fire Marshals. In 1994, jumping ahead, as continuing his work to fight the Fire Safe Cigarette campaign, he initiated a campaign to create flammability standards at the national level for furniture, saying that we should have furniture become cigarette resistant. I know that this is a bit confusing, but that was one of the objects of Mr. Sparber's work at the Tobacco Institute, was to create confusion and to stop legislation regulating cigarettes. However, when the Tobacco Institute was eliminated by the tobacco settlement in 1999, he was out of work. And lo and behold, he ended up working for the flame retardant chemical industry, and he created a phony grassroots group modeled, if you will, after his prior work for 20 years, and he created Citizens for Fire Safety, a nonprofit organization to fight any change of TB117 or any other state bills that were introduced to get rid of toxic flame retardant chemicals. Mr. Sparber mentored some lobbyists who took up his work, and the last I heard, Mr. Sparber was off promoting flame retardant chemicals in Europe and elsewhere. I just am pointing all of this out to say that the genesis of the phony AstroTurf campaign to fight any change that Senator Leno proposed or even Governor Brown has proposed, all of that grassroots effort was generated out of the brain trust of the tobacco industry. And I'll end there.
Thank you, Mr. Gore. Next, we have Jose Bravo. Mr. Bravo is Executive Director for the Just Transition Alliance based in the San Diego area. At the Just Transition Alliance, Jose works directly with environmental justice communities, organized and unorganized labor. And his coalition is made up of labor, economic justice advocates, environmental justice activists, indigenous people, and working class people of color. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Bravo.
Thank you, Anna. I'll start off where, after a comment from Senator Leno around Citizens for Fire Safety, the corporations that produce fire retardants set up this group to disinform the public, and so Citizens for Fire Safety facilitated heart-wrenching testimony to legislators about how people of color and poor people need the head start that flame retardants gives us, because first responders take longer in our communities to respond to emergency calls than they do in the more affluent white communities. This is true. I will leave it up to you to determine whether the supposed four, and I emphasize supposed, 4 to 12 seconds makes up a response lag of 5 to 6 minutes on average in our community. They also forgot the fact that in many of our communities we live with an overabundance of toxic chemicals, chemical impacts from a multitude of toxic use and manufacturing of chemicals on a day-to-day basis. We are not buying the flame retardant chemical industry's false understanding of the truth, and our communities will not stand to be used in misleading testimony in order to justify unwanted long-term chemical trespass at the expense of our health. This thinking is blatantly callous and reprehensible, since people of color are disproportionately impacted by flame retardant chemicals. Multiple studies have replicated disturbing findings that non-white children have significantly higher chemical, higher levels of certain flame retardants than white children. But let me be clear. This is not a legacy that we want for any child. But it started here in California, so we owe it to everyone to do the right thing. While Citizens for Fire Safety has been discredited or disbanded, the American Chemistry Council has simply absorbed the same players and the deceptive tactics of Citizens for Fire Safety. So in essence, a lot of the rhetoric, the false solution, is still out there, and I think it's important for us as people of color, low-income people, and communities that are devastated to point out the fact that we will not be held hostage, our health will not be held hostage in order to justify a false claim. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bravo. Our last speaker, thank you so much for joining us, is Mr. Jim Doucette. He's a retired firefighter and executive director of the Firefighters Burn Institute. Mr. Doucette will address how that stated draft regulation can help reduce toxic exposures for firefighters. Thank you, Mr. Doucette.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me. Before I get started, I really want to thank Andrew McGuire for educating me about the Green Science Policy Institute's work. I was really, to be honest with you, I didn't know a lot of this was happening, and Andrew called me. It's been a while ago, and really made me think things differently. And I also want to thank Dr. Bloom for all of her hard work, and I've had a chance to meet her, and I really, you know, what you have done is going to really help so many people, not only firefighters, but the rest of the population. And Senator Leno, you too, I know that you had an uphill battle, and I really appreciate all the hard work that you did in the legislature to get this through. I was hired in late 1979, and I worked for just almost 31 years with the Sacramento Fire Department. And I can remember early on in my career talking with older firefighters that fought fire back in the 50s and 60s, and they used to always tell me that something changed. They didn't know what it was, but fires were burning hotter and dirtier, and they seemed to have a head start on the fire department before we even arrived. Unfortunately for me, that was always true for me because I started, like I said, in the late 70s, and that's all I ever really knew. And what I also knew is that I've lost a lot of close friends and coworkers to cancer, to job-related cancer. Many of them died way too young, and it was always, you know, we could never point our fingers exactly what caused this, but a lot of it is, you know, coming full circle now, and we're starting to understand more. To this day, I've been retired for about 2.5 years, haven't been in a fire for that long, and to this day, sometimes I get out of the shower and I still smell smoke. It still comes out of my skin, and I don't, you know, it's just something I'll probably always live with. And so far, knock on wood, I'm cancer-free, and I hope I remain that way, but many of my brother and sister firefighters aren't. And I'm hoping this new legislation really helps turn that around. Since I retired, I run the Firefighters Burn Institute. I'm the executive director. It's a burn charity here in Sacramento. We work with our two burn units, the one at UC Davis Hospital and the one at Shriners. I am an advocate for anything that will reduce fire and prevent burn injuries, but I'm not an advocate, and my foundation isn't, and my fellow firefighters are not advocates of any kind of regulation, legislation, or whatever that's going to create more harm than good. It's become crystal clear to me that the chemical industry has only been in this for one reason, and that is to make money at the expense of others. So I applaud everybody's work, and I'll keep it real short. I just, you know, would like to hear what other people have to say, and I'm available for questions. And, again, thank you so much for all the work you've all done.
Thank you, Mr. Doucette. And I misspoke earlier with Mr. Doucette being the last speaker. I referenced several times throughout our list today is Dr. Arlene Bloom, who is a UC Berkeley visiting scholar, biophysical chemist, and founder and executive director of the Green Science Policy Institute. Dr. Bloom has been studying the harmful effects of these chemicals since the 1970s and will address the science of toxic flame retardants and what is known about safer substitutions. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Bloom.
Well, A huge thanks to everyone on this call. This is really an emotional moment for me. It's been a very, very long time coming that we're going to be able to have products without unneeded and toxic flame retardants. And just to say, the history for me goes back to the 70s. When we learned about the flame retardants in children's pajamas and that they wet from the pajamas into the children, changed DNA, were found to be cancer-causing, two flame retardants, brominated tris and then chlorinated tris, were removed from children's pajamas, and we thought the problem was solved. And then many years later, in 2006, I learned that the same chlorinated tris that had been taken out of children's pajamas because it changed DNA, had been shown to be cancer-causing, but was back in our furniture. And I met many of you. It's been quite, I'm a mountain climber. It's been like climbing a mountain with a wonderful, strong team this last 6 years. In the beginning, I met Russell Long and Mary Brune and Mark Leno, and we had a bill that came very close to passing. And as Mark said, it's been a very difficult, challenging 6 years. But finally, it seems like we are going to be getting the flame retardants out. And by late next summer, we should all be able to buy furniture and baby products without flame retardants, which really makes me happy, because it's time for this toxic whack-a-mole game to end. As Sarah Danson said, Penta, that was used in virtually all California furniture and many other foam products until it was globally banned, which was in 2005. Penta stopped being made, though it's still in older products. But it was replaced with chlorinated tris, the same chemical that our research helped remove from kids' pajamas in the 70s. And now chlorinated tris is being replaced with FireMaster 550. And it's hard to believe, but this chemical FireMaster, which is the number one chemical very likely now in our products, we scientists cannot get samples to study. The company will not share it with us, so we cannot perform any studies. There was one sample given out, and Heather Stapleton did a small study with that sample, and it looks like FireMaster contributes to obesity and anxiety, which is not what we want in our furniture, in our dust, or in our bodies. And phosphate flame retardants are the new replacement, but a paper just came out about 2 weeks ago saying most of them have no information, but the ones that have been studied look harmful. So we're moving from one harmful flame retardant to the next. And the way to solve it is not by banning or doing anything around chemicals. Green chemistry will not solve this. The way to solve the problem is to change to a flammability standard which gives us greater fire safety. So this is a true win-win for our health, our environment, really every creature on the planet, because these flame retardants from California furniture that were used almost exclusively in North America are found on the North, the South Pole, deep in the ocean. They move all over the planet. And so by changing this standard, we're protecting the health of everyone, and we're getting greater fire safety. So it couldn't be a better change. So just a big thanks to everyone, and especially the governor for taking the lead, Tanya Blood for doing such a fantastic job of putting together a standard that will benefit us all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bloom. So before we jump into the question section, Dr. Jensen mentioned her blog earlier. There are a lot of great web resources, and the coalition information is at toxicfreefiresafety.org. That's toxicfreefiresafety.org, where you can find statements, media advisory, and links to more information. Many of you heard about this through Stephanie Hendricks. Her email address to get more information is stephdh@earthlink.net. And when you ask questions right now, if you could please state your name and where you're calling, reporting from. If you want to take yourselves off mute to ask questions, it is star 6. So who would like to ask a question?
Hi, this is Amiga here from Consumers Union. Thank you very much for this information. It is very, very good news. I just wanted to get some more information about something that Lucas spoke to about how this standard would actually be better than AFTM 1353. I was just wondering if you could elaborate on that.
Don, are you still on the phone?
There. You okay now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah. What it does is that there's a some improvements over, you know, I'm not sure how familiar everybody is with the old ASTM standard, but what it does is it makes it a more robust standard in that it measures things, you know, there's some technical things like the char length and all the directions instead of one. It has a standard with the barrier, and it narrows the density range of the foam. So it's a little tighter standard. So there's some of these more technical things. And the other thing is it specifies a more smolder-prone fabric, and it provides a more rigorous test of the inner liner barrier method. So if you're going to put barriers in there, this is a more rigorous test. So there's things like that in the new standard that are better than the ASTM method.
Okay, thank you. And thank you, everyone, for all of your work on this.
Thank you for joining, Amika. Next question.
This is Elizabeth Grossman writing for Chemical Watch. Is there somebody on the call who can speak to whether or not the new standard will mean that the fabric itself would end up being treated with a chemical or not? So I'd just like to clarify that part of the new standard. Thanks.
Thank you, Elizabeth Grossman, for joining us. And I'm not sure if Don and or Dr. Bloom, either of you would like to take that question.
Totally, and I can say something about it. The new standard does not forbid the use of flame retardant chemicals. That's not the Bureau's, they don't have the authority to say things about flame retardants. However, flame retardants are not needed in foam. And with regard to fabric, about 85% of the fabric currently used will meet the standard already. So if you have a leather couch or a heavy synthetic couch, you put a smoldering cigarette on it, nothing happens. Heavy cotton is a problem, and a barrier can be used underneath the heavy cotton. But as far as I know, we're not forbidden from using flame retardants, but they're not needed. And, you know, I forgot to say when I gave my little talk is our website has quite a lot of information on alternatives and a lot of the science around flame retardants, which is just greensciencepolicy.org, just the name of our organization with no spaces. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Arlene. Anyone else like to ask a question or respond to that? Hi, welcome.
Hi, this is Stephanie from the Chronicle in San Francisco. Thanks very much to all of you for taking the time to do this. I was wondering if we've been talking about how great you perceive the new standard to be, but I was wondering what qualms you might have with any part of it. For example, manufacturers have to start making the new furniture starting July 1st, 2014 onwards. Do you think that timeline is too slow? And if not, in general, just what other qualms might you have with the new standard? Thanks.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, for joining us. It is, a newly posted standard, so as far as the technical aspects and other folks on the call that can speak to that, we are, I think, still taking time to review that. I would flag, though, that certainly making sure that this standard is implemented as swiftly as possible. And so there's every indication from the governor's office and the Bureau that we're going to stick to that timeline. But I think in any regulatory process, making sure that we have swift change. Is there anyone else that would like to respond to that question?
I'll jump in. This is Mark Leno. Given that we had the support of the manufacturing sector, and I think all of our legislative efforts, I would imagine they're embracing this, and July 1st, 2014 gives them significant time to prepare for the change, and they have been hoping, if not planning for this for quite a while. So I don't think this should cause the marketplace any unrest or significant problems. I think it's thoughtfully conceived.
Thank you. Is there another question or another response to Stephanie Lee's question?
Yeah, I had a question. This is Sam Rose, Chicago Tribune.
Hey, thanks for joining.
My question is to Senator Leno. What kind of response do you expect from the chemical industry on this move?
Before I jump into that, let me thank the Tribune. Your series was a game changer here. It really reset the landscape and allowed for a new framing and a new conversation to happen, because it was the investigative work of the Tribune that really allowed for the recognition of a dishonored, discredited, and disgraced industry. It changed everything for us. So we will be ever vigilant. I can't speak for the industry, of course, and that's a question that could be asked of them. But I would like to believe that they might see the writing on the wall, that the world is changing. They've made multi-billions of dollars in profit at the expense of health and well-being of firefighters and families and the entire planet for far too long. There's a world of opportunity out there. They should set their sights on it, but recognize that they are not going to win this battle. The governor is intent. If anyone knows Jerry Brown, he does not change his mind capriciously. He does not blow over. He is serious about making this change. It will happen, and there is no need for legislative act to sustain what he's doing, nor could the legislature attempt to overturn it. But as I mentioned earlier, once this is in place, I think it will have even greater legal protection to have it in California state law. And I believe that though we have clearly run into significant opposition from the industry, which has curtailed support from my colleagues, that everything is changing now, and that, again, their word is not worth much in a committee hearing at this point.
So you don't see the industry and their lobbyists derailing this plan over the next few months by, you know, questioning the science or the test methods or anything? Is it too late for that for them, or is there still a chance that might happen?
Well, again, I think in many more eyes than ever before, it is now a discredited industry. They paid people with credentials, professional credentials, to come and lie to legislators in hearings, fabricating stories, making it all up. And I can tell you, as one, a legislator does not like to be lied to. Unlike the U.S. Congress, we don't require someone take an oath to speak the truth when they come to our hearings. So that is now something that is being discussed quietly among legislators, because when you can't count on truth or even the pretense of truth, it destroys the entire legislative process. So they can try as they may. I would place a strong bet this will not be derailed, and that we will have a much less chemical polluting future. Of course, one of the big problems, and Dr. Bloom can speak to this better than I, is that this new regulation, hopefully new statute, will stop the bleeding. It will stop any future pollution, but we now have decades of pollution on which we are still sitting, and that's another problem we'll have to deal with, how to remove all of these chemicals from our environment.
Could I pose that same question to Dr. Jansen? Do you feel that the industry could push back on this to the point where this plan could be derailed or changed significantly?
I've only also just read over the draft proposal briefly this morning, but I don't really see a way for them to do that effectively.
But it could happen, right? I mean, did you see them? They're not. I mean, they haven't gone away for years on this, and their Citizens for Fire Safety group is gone, but they're still there. I mean, do you expect
well,
that? kind of get a sense if you see a fight over the next few weeks about this, or is this a done deal?
Well, I don't think we can call it a done deal until it's final, but and I expect that they're going to do whatever they can to try to derail this and especially delay it. I mean, that is one of the tried and true industry tactics is to delay, 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 and I'm sure that they are going to try to throw as many wrenches in this to delay it as possible, and we're going to do as much as we can to support the administration to push it through and
Hello?
Time to pass.
This is Andrew McGuire, and I'd like to respond very quickly. When the first state law passed in New York State for fire-safe cigarettes, the tobacco industry threatened lawsuits as an attempt to delay the fire safety standard for cigarettes. They ended up not actually filing lawsuits when they perused the regulation and realized that it was pretty airtight. And I think that the promulgated standard that I read this morning, the TB117-2013, is pretty darn airtight.
Okay, thank you.
This is Don Lucas. I did want to add a caution because one of the things that we've been hearing recently is that there'll be a study and they'll pick out one piece of evidence or one particular test from a broad range of experiments or tests and use that as evidence. So you can't take, because it's such a complex issue, how fire starts and how it propagates, you can't take a single data point and use that as evidence that TB117, the old one, was effective or not effective, in my view. So what you have to do is make sure you look at the breadth of the studies that have been done and all of the different interpretations and analysis of it, and not just a single point. The second thing is I also wanted to emphasize that we're not talking about I've heard the word chemical industry here, and I think it's important to point out that we're really talking about the fire retardant chemical industry, the companies that make that, because for instance, recently, one of the companies that previously made the halogenated flame retardants, Albemarle, has pulled out of the market. And when I gave a talk down in Baton Rouge at the American Chemical Society meeting last November, six of their people showed up at my talk, and we had a very good discussion with them. So we don't want to smear the entire chemical industry, but we're really focusing on one aspect of fire retardants and fire safety and the fire retardant chemicals used in this particular area.
Thank you, everyone, for responding. Is there an additional question from participants on the call?
Sorry, Rachel Bain with BNA. Just wondering if someone could address the big picture in terms of what this means going forward. You know, California has a de facto standard for the nation, so to speak, and kind of update talks with federal regulators such as CPSC.
This is Arlene. Maybe I can do that. I have heard from the furniture and foam industry that once the standard is implemented, which is believed to be late summer, early fall, they can immediately, within 24 hours, produce furniture that does not have flame retardants in the foam. So that's good news. And indeed, that will impact the whole country. And Canada also has the flame retardants in their furniture. However, before the problem is totally solved, the CPSC will need to enact a uniform standard for the whole country, because around the country there are other standards pointing at TB117. For example, in Boston and Massachusetts, in offices, their furniture has to meet TB117, and there's some lack of clarity about whether it's the old TB117 or the new TB117 that these other standards that are pointing at our standard have to meet. So the final solution will be a uniform federal standard, and there's a long tradition of that. California and the CPSC are the only places in the country that can enact these standards. We're the only place that has a bureau going back to our great earthquake and fire. And so in terms of the mattress standard, California first enacted a mattress standard, and then the federal government followed. So once California does this, it will ease the way for the CPSC to enact their standard. They have a similar standard, in fact, that was published in the congressional records in 2008, but it's challenging for them to enact standards. So once we do ours, it will make it easier for them.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else like to comment on the big picture moving forward? I'll just add that, you know, having such a long struggle for making sure this that we can have fire safe furniture and many fire safe products without unnecessary added toxic chemicals or untested chemicals that get into our bodies. This is really a big step forward and also groundbreaking in that we're asking the question of, do we need these chemicals in our products to achieve their intended purpose? And in this case, we're using the California's taking a clear stand and taking a scientific approach to taking a look to this problem. And in this case, smarter fire safety without the use of toxic, unnecessary chemicals. So in that sense, this is groundbreaking. And since TB-117 has become the de facto for the nation, it affects everyone and Canada, as Arlene mentioned. Any additional questions from participants? Are there any follow-up comments that our great list of speakers today would like to comment on for any of the previously asked questions?
Big thank you, Anna.
You're welcome. Thank you, everyone, for participating in this call. We hope you found it informative and that we are available for I'm sorry, was that someone asking a question?
Okay, we hope you Irene, you know, I might just say one more thing, of course, which is that just to be thinking that beyond furniture, back when the TB-117 was enacted in the 70s, I think it was done in good faith. No one thought to check either its efficacy or thought about the potential harm of the chemicals that were used to meet it. At the same time, standards were enacted for building insulation in the 70s that similarly are met with equally harmful flame retardant chemicals, again, without efficacy. So I think moving forward in the legislature right now in California, there's a bill to reduce the use of harmful flame retardants in building insulation. So I think that solving the problem in furniture is a huge and important step, but they're also toxic and ineffective flame retardants, needing ineffective standards in other products. So there is more to be done, but this is still just a great day. So again, I want to thank everybody who's been doing this.
Thank you so much, Arlene. This definitely is a good day and a good step forward, and, you know, addressing other toxics and how, you know, there's so much research on the flame retardants that have been used and then were banned and some removed voluntarily. Clearly our chemical system is broken that allows toxic and untested chemicals on the market, and so too California being a leader in the pilot program for safer consumer products, but also that we absolutely need national reform of TSCA, our 1970s law regulating chemicals comprehensively. So to close with that, thank you everyone again for joining the call, and we look forward to being asked more questions by you. If you visit toxicfreefiresafety.org, you can find all of our media advisory information, our contact information for interviews, for follow-up questions, and we're really happy to be moving forward in this big step for toxic-free fire safety. Thank you very much.